when we're thinking about the relationship that people have with money, oftentimes they don't understand what they don't understand. And so having spent hours and endless conversations with clients, what I identified was that we needed a methodology, we needed an approach through which the clients are empowered to understand not only what their options are, but more than that, even understand what is it that they need the money to do.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Eunicia Perrette. And she's the founder of the Empowered Financial Planner. I'm super excited to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right on. So right off the bat, the first question, this is the same question I ask everybody that comes on the show, is we want to know a little bit about you. So if you could share something about yourself, share your story. How did this all get started for you? How did you find the Empowered Financial Planner?
That's a great question. I didn't find it. It found me. It found me really through the personal journey that my husband and I had really with our finances, our old financial advisors, and really our overall journey to finding this thing called financial empowerment, right? Financial independence, whatever people find designed to or desire to call it. And the journey really started, if we were to go back through my career, it started back in the day when I was an executive in corporate America, had done everything I needed to climb up the corporate ladder exceptionally fast. And what I realized as that was happening was that the more money I was making, the more money we were making as a family, the more money we were spending. And because of that, yes, our wealth was growing, but it was not growing quite the same way that perhaps we were hoping, or perhaps we were even witnessing other people around us growing their wealth. And so one of the things that happened for us a few years back is we needed to make some financial decisions. And when we took a pause to ask some questions regarding and surrounding those financial decisions, what we found out was that our financial advisors at that point in time, all they really were interested in doing is putting us in the types of vehicles, financial vehicles that they were quote unquote selling. Because in my heart and what I did as a career for many years as a strategy consultant, I ask a lot of questions. And I was asking all of these questions that frankly, I was not getting very many answers to. Or if I was getting answers to, the answers were always wishy-washy to the best of my ability. They were never clean and they never made me feel comfortable. And so what I did is I started really geeking out and asking more and more questions, but not just asking questions, figuring out not only the answers, but more importantly, how and why the questions, and even more importantly, the industry is so disparate across the board, right? Because if everybody sells something, it means that everybody's got their own unique niche. And ultimately, unless we have all of the products under the sun, which that's very unlikely, we end up missing out potentially on strategies that could be helpful for us. So in that journey, one of the things that I discovered was that there are individuals in general have a lot of blind spots. There are a lot of black holes, potholes, whatever you want to call them, that unless we know how to avoid them, we go right through them. And we may not necessarily feel the impact at the onset. What ends up happening is because of those blind spots, potholes, whatever we want to call them, we end up leaving a ton of money on the table. And so that's a little bit about my journey and how I ended up really focusing in on how do we help other individuals, specifically those that are earning a lot of money. We work with a lot of multi-six and seven figure earners that are leaving money, a lot of money on the table to taxes, to bad investments, to poor investments, and really to the lack of knowledge when it comes to not just risk, but also protecting from themselves from a legal standpoint.
Right on. Yes, that is an extensive background and also really awesome to see how you got into where you're at right now, just asking the questions that you were asking, not really getting any type of answers, which is funny when, because I've interviewed a few people that have gone the standard route and the standard way with financial planners. And it's funny that what's considered the standard, right? The products that get sold to consumers today or investors or people that are trying to save up for retirement today. It's so funny. If you start looking at alternative investments and other ways to do it, there's other avenues to get you there that your money's not locked in until you're 65 years old or whatever, and opportunities for it to grow even more with less fees and things like that. As you were talking about that, I wrote down this question that I wanted to ask you, because why is it that the financial industry is so focused on these standard products?
A big part of it is the way that the industry itself incentivizes people, right? Because financial products do come with a commission, oftentimes what individuals and end consumers, really ultimately the clients, don't understand is that, just think of real estate. That's something that everybody kind of understands, right? When you work with a real estate agent, let's say that you might get qualified for, we'll use easy numbers, $500,000 or $1 million. But let's say that you're qualified for $1 million. Easy round numbers, and you go out there with your real estate team and you look at a ton of houses, but you're really starting in that $500,000, $600,000 level, because who knows, maybe you find that gem, right? And you find a house that fits your needs perfectly, but maybe it's $650,000, maybe it's $700,000. Unless your real estate agent helps you make the decision that's focused on what you truly are most interested in, not the price of the house, but really how well does the house fit your needs, what you as an end consumer might end up being exposed to, you're probably going to end up maxing out on what you were qualified for. You're probably going to end up with $1 million home, even though that house at $750,000 or $700,000 could have been yours. Maybe you needed to put a little bit of lipstick on it and it could have cost you in all in $700,000. But you still would have had $300,000 more to play with. It's the same thing with financial services, right? When individuals are out there, in financial advisors, regardless of whether they're traditional, non-traditional financial advisors, they focus on helping their clients through those specific products. And because they're commission-driven, it ends up being that everybody is going to be doing something a little bit different. Everybody's going to specialize into something a little bit different. And oftentimes, even the companies that they work with are going to offer certain products based on either a menu of services that's predefined, because that's what they do as a company, or a menu of services that's predefined based on investable assets that an individual has. And so just there alone, we looked at a couple of major things, right? How the industry is incentivized and what types of financial or vehicles a lot of the financial advisors have access to. And so your question was more along the lines of, really, when we're looking at how financial advisors are incentivized, specifically, I think your question was, why is it that financial advisors will be proponents of specific things, right? It's because if, let's say that a client who talked about real estate comes in and says, hey, Eunicia, I really want to understand more about real estate. I want to have a portfolio of assets. Most financial advisors would start talking the game of the risk and the different things that are associated. Real estate is great, but, and you have this long laundry list of buts. What I found in working with our clients as a wealth strategist is that I don't want to tell a client that real estate is great, but, and then the laundry list, right? Rather, the client, if the client sees and believes that real estate is the best and that's where their heart and mind is, the question is then and becomes, how do we address the needs for that specific client to make sure that their money still grows, the risk is managed, but at the end of the day, they get to rest in peace, knowing that they're building wealth in a way that's meaningful to them. And so that was a pretty complex answer to a very simple question. But the reality is, a lot of people don't understand the complexities. And because of that, they fall trapped to the typical of what they see out there every single day.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it? And what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
I definitely appreciate that. The too long didn't read version that I'm getting out of that is, hey, the standard practice is they're commission-based when they're selling these products. It's going to put more in their pocket by sticking with what they know and what they sell versus trying to have you like look at alternatives as well. Now, one of the things that I really appreciate also about that answer is just how in depth you went into that though, right? Because it's not just that simple. There's a lot more that goes into it. So when you gave that description too, with looking at real estate, you're qualified for $1 million home, but you might find something that's 750 and that maybe you just need to fix up and you might get talked out of it because it might not be as advantageous to whoever's helping you, right? Now, at the same time, I would hope that other realtors out there, I'm also a realtor myself, but I would hope that other realtors out there upholding their fiduciary responsibility to their buyers, because that's ultimately what they should be doing.
And I both know that's less the case than we would like for it to be.
Unfortunately, that's why they need to find a good one like me. No, shameless self-plug. But anyway, yeah, you say that what makes you different is you're a wealth strategist, right? So your focus more is on what is it that your clients want to invest in to build their wealth versus any products that you're just offering yourself.
Correct.
Okay, great. So Eunicia, when I'm looking at like your background and everything, you have something that's called the Wealth Freedom Formula. So I was curious to what that is. So can you share that with us? What is your Wealth Freedom Formula?
Absolutely. So the Wealth Freedom Formula is actually a hands-on, super, super personalized consulting program and engagement that we put all of our clients through. The reason we do that, Mike, is because for years and years, I helped clients and best of my ability, walked them through what are their options, helping them understand their own logic with money, right? Because we were raised and had issues as a kid. And because of that, we have financial problems. Nothing like that. Although that does have its own meaning and benefit. But when we're thinking about the relationship that people have with money, oftentimes they don't understand what they don't understand. And so having spent hours and endless conversations with clients, what I identified was that we needed a methodology, we needed an approach through which the clients are empowered to understand not only what their options are, but more than that, even understand what is it that they need the money to do and what is the meaning of that and what does that look like. And so the Wealth Freedom Formula is that methodology that helps the client and helps us in our communication with our clients to make sure that we follow a blueprint that helps us stay on track. But then at every single point as part of that engagement, the process is customized to the individual because the question could very well be the same for two or three or multiple individuals, but the responses are going to be very different. And those responses and those discussions are going to lead to what I call the domino effect that's going to be vastly different from one person to another. And so that's what we do. And all of that was born as part of those big questions and that seeking to find why is the industry so disparate and why don't things come together in such a way where we're looking at the end-to-end picture for the client. And that's exactly what the WFF or the Wealth Freedom Formula does.
I love that. It puts control back in the client's hands. It lets guide them, right, to where they want to go, but you help them build this roadmap of a journey that they're embarking on. And along the way, they can figure out the different pieces that work for them that makes them more comfortable. And that's something that I think is really respectable and commendable because you don't see a lot of people out there in this industry that are like, hey, we want to help you do what you want to do, something that makes you feel more comfortable as you're building your wealth. So that's really awesome. And I appreciate that. Now, as you've been doing this throughout, so it was what, 15 years that you've been doing this?
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. So as you've been doing this, what about like your own personal financial journey? So when you started down this road, so I know you said you were in corporate America for a little while, you climbed the ladder and then you got out and you started this program, the Empowered Financial Planner. And with doing that, you became your own entrepreneur, right? You started on this own journey. Now, did you have to build a team? What else went into this as you started building up? Because I know like it's got to be very uncomfortable leaving the comfort zone of having that corporate job with that guaranteed paycheck coming in to starting from nothing. So what was that like for you?
Actually, that's a very deep question, Mike. It was not easy, particularly because at the time I left corporate America, I was actually in a very unique position. I was having discussions regarding partnership, joining the partnership in a major consulting firm, worldwide consulting firm. And it was actually my husband that kind of brought the awareness to me and said, hey, darling, I need you to look at a list of questions, right? Having seen, he was always my biggest proponent when it came to my role in corporate America and climbing through the leadership ranks. And when he came with this list of questions, it was very much based in his observations of what, not necessarily I went through, but observations that he had seen me experience. And so it was along the lines of, what are you going to do when? And then there was a question. And I had, there are a few no's, and a lot of them were really based on my moral compass and what I felt was right or was wrong. And he looked at me and he said, sweetheart, 10 years is a very long time frame. How many career limiting moves or career limiting respectful no's do you think you're going to be able to have? And it was at that point in time that it was actually my husband that gave me the grace of taking a break. He said, you need a break. You've worked really hard and you just need to make sure that whatever your decision is that you're going to be comfortable with for the long haul, not just comfortable, but happy, because you've put all of this time, you've built your career, you were very successful, you're very happy, but is the happiness that has carried you until now going to keep you going forward? And so it was at that point in time that coincidentally, we had those major financial questions for us. And so I was already a multi six-figure earner. We were doing very well as a family. And you can imagine when I sat down and I looked at, even from a taxes perspective, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars we had just paid in taxes because we didn't know that we had alternatives. It was painful and it was hurtful. And when I started looking at what could be done, obviously at first I looked at our situation, but then it very quickly converted into how can I give back? And to answer your question about my journey as a as an entrepreneur, I started out as an entrepreneur. I didn't know at first if I even knew how to pay myself because that was never a thought in my mind. I had never been in that realm of earning my own pay. Of course, yes, I did earn the pay because I got the salary, but how do you truly pay yourself through your own hard work? You get to be the person that invoices and everything else. And so it started out by me working on my own. Then I got a group of very close mentors that I collaborated with. And what I realized was that in order for me to really be able to give back, we needed an actual team. And so we just started bolting on different team members in different parts of the organization, and we continue to grow and we continue to hire and continue to bring on amazing folks that can help us deliver the mission that we're set out to deliver in terms of helping people grow through their wealth optimization efforts.
I love it. And I love your mission too, especially with just how genuine it is and how you're trying to help people invest in ways that work for them. Now, there was something you had mentioned, and I wrote this down because of the amount of taxes that you said that you were paying. And when you start looking at some of these alternative investments, such as real estate, I think people don't realize, besides the cash flow or appreciation that you might be getting from investing in these assets, there's something else that you get too. And it's huge tax advantages. By being able to look at that and look at it from a different scope of view, right, like you started to do, what made you realize that there were other options out there that can actually help you in that avenue?
We'll get back to the show after a brief break.
What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about Buzzsprout. The Average Joe Finances podcast recently switched over to Buzzsprout, and I got to say, I am super happy with the progress. Our podcast is now on every single major platform and reaching audiences that we couldn't reach before, which is just super awesome. So thank you to Buzzsprout for being such a great platform. But also I want to say, hey guys, if you sign up for Buzzsprout and you sign up for one of their paid plans using our link, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card. So go check them out. It's averagejoefinances.com/Buzzsprout, and we'll make sure the link is in the show notes below. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Mike Cab from Average Joe Finances. Just want to talk to you today about Prep Agent. If you're interested in learning how to become a real estate agent and being able to pass the test on your first try, check out Prep Agent at www.prepagent.com. Use code AVGJOE, that's Average Joe, AVGJOE, to get an additional 20% off. Let's get back to today's episode.
You are completely right when it comes to how real estate can be so helpful on the tax optimization. But what I realized when I started really geeking out and really hanging out more from a financial strategic discussion, right? Financial strategic discussions, rather, with individuals that were either in similar situations to mine or other professionals such as doctors, pilots, individuals that make a lot of money, don't have time to geek out on their own stuff, nor should they, right? They have their unique areas of specialty. What I realized was that oftentimes, even with real estate, even with a real estate portfolio, people still end up leaving more on the table than they need to. And the reason for that, Mike, is because they don't have a true financial team that works for, not against them. And this is not to say that our financial teams or anybody's financial team truly works against them. But if that financial team, if you've got the wrong people on the bus that don't truly understand how the tax code applies to you specifically, you're going to end up leaving more and paying more than you should. A good example for it, when it comes to real estate, we have several clients that when we started working with them, they had a real estate portfolio. And what we found out was that CAs that they were using did not necessarily understand the intricacies of their overall business, the intricacies of and the delineation between the real estate portfolio and their day-to-day jobs. And because of that, they weren't optimizing the tax code. And so part of what we do, especially with high net worth individuals, as well as high income earners, is to make sure that the client's financial team either comes together because we have the right people on the bus, or the client will get to decide when they realize maybe that they don't have the right individuals, they'll literally come to us and say, okay, I think I need to speak to somebody else. Who might you be able to introduce? And that's where our team of experts comes to bear. Those are not individuals that are on our team necessarily directly. And the reason for that is very strategic. We want our clients to get unbiased firsthand and first help. And that's where we act more as the conduit, more of as the quarterback for our clients, so that nobody ever feels that, hey, I'm in a family office and these guys are just kind of everything that they do, they can just execute it internally. I see that as potentially being very dangerous, because then again, it takes us right back into what is the menu of services and are we somehow limited to either the knowledge or the menu of services that we're getting. So I know it was a long, pretty detailed answers and answer, a very multifaceted, but unfortunately, this problem of truly optimizing wealth is not as simple as, to your point, just cut down the cost and you'll be fine, or just buy real estate because it'll help you minimize your taxes and you'll be fine. I wish it was that easy.
No, nothing's ever that easy. Nothing's ever that simple. I really appreciate that. And one of the things I wrote down, like the key word that you said there, by being able to refer these people out to other outside entities, that third parties, is how they can get that unbiased opinion or recommendation that's separate from you and your team. So that's really awesome. Another thing I wrote down too, because one of the things I'm really enjoying about this conversation is you keep saying that you're geeking out on this stuff. And I love it because I geek out on this stuff too. It's just, it's really fun to just learn more and learn these different ways to build wealth, to save on taxes and different things like that. So I really love that you use that term, geeking out. I want to rewind back to something else that you said maybe two or three questions ago. And I wrote this down and I forgot to bring this up. And that was, you had mentioned something about having a relationship with money. And this is something that I brought up on the show a couple times. I've had a couple other guests on the show that bring this up. And I just want to point out the significance of that, because a lot of people, they don't have a relationship with money. They just think of it as a tool. Sure, it is a tool, right? It is a tool that you can use to help build wealth. But what is your relationship with money? So it's just like having a relationship with a person. If it's toxic, it's not going to work out that well. You're probably just going to see your money walking out the door. But if you have a good relationship with money, you can say, hey, money, come on board. Let's work together. Let's get you employed to make more of you. So I think I just want to point that out, because that's something, key words that you say that make me really smile on the inside, but also, okay, she's genuine. She's a genuine person. So I just want to say, I really appreciate that. Now, speaking of being genuine and enjoying what we're talking about, you've been doing this for over 15 years. You've been helping multiple people with building their wealth and just building different wealth strategies, helping them build their blueprints and work on that relationship with money. What would you say is the thing that you enjoy the most about what you do?
At the end of the day, is seeing the value that we deliver to our clients. And going back to the 15 years that you were mentioning, it's actually even part of that 15 years, for our listeners to understand, was rooted in helping large Fortune 500 organizations, just listen to this, do more with less. Right? How can we do more with fewer people, with better processes, with increasing our bottom line? And one of the biggest ahas and the biggest rewards that I ever got personally was to see that we can deliver the value to the clients. Oftentimes, yeah, doing more with less, but not focusing on how do we fire people, but rather how do we re-engineer what the client already has and focus on bettering that organization. It's the same thing when it comes to money. Just like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that if you have a financial team, which sadly to say, most people don't truly have a financial team. If it even exists, it doesn't mean that we have to scrap it, but it does mean that we can bring those people up to speed on what else are we missing out by infusing the situation with thought leadership, with new leading practices, with leading practices that maybe, using your favorite word, they didn't geek out on, right? Because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing every single day. It's our job to geek out because that's what we do and that's what I love doing. But it's that it's seeing the results and it's seeing the fact that we do have an impact and that what we deliver to clients is core results, hardcore increases to their bottom line by minimizing taxes, by optimizing the way that they invest money, and by many cases, minimizing risk, even from a legal standpoint.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that. So as, again, there was another keyword that you said too, is how you're adding and being able to add value to these different companies and the different people that you work with. That's huge because being able to do more with less, and actually with me being in the military for over 20 years, that's one of the things that was always a big thing, is do more with less. And we always had to figure out how to make that work. But having somebody be able to guide you as you do, that's huge. And you don't really see that too often. It's just pretty much, hey, suck it up and figure it out. So the fact that you can help guide people and guide these companies through that pathway is very awesome. Now, I want to go back to you personally a little bit with what it is that you're doing for yourself and your family and your own financial freedom journey. So I just want to ask you, what kind of asset classes do you currently invest in?
It just really varies across the board. There's everything from the traditional financial vehicles to the non-traditional financial products to non-financial anything. Think of real estate, think of non-traditional investments in terms of different projects and different things where we see that there's an opportunity to not just make money, but be the voice of reason behind some amazing initiatives. And we do all of that just like we do with our clients, in a manner in which it feels comfortable. If it doesn't feel comfortable, I'll tell, just like I tell my clients, there are certain things, for example, the market, there are specific things that I just can't stand about the market, not because it's what it is, but because it is what it is. It's because I cannot deal with the losses. And so some of our products in that arena are really more there for us to sense what's happening with the market because I need that and because of what I do. But outside of that, I cannot stomach losses. I don't like seeing major losses just to see major gains, because at the end of the day, what I know is that they even out. And so I don't need a roller coaster to live on for every single day of my life. If I needed a roller coaster, Six Flags is a pretty good place to scratch that itch during the summertime.
Yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate that answer because it's the same thing for me. I focus mostly on real estate. I do invest in a whole bunch of other different products, but real estate for me has always been the bread and butter because it's always been very steady. Whereas, as you said, the market can be a roller coaster, these ups and downs. And so I do have some small positions in the market when I look at that every now and then. So that's one thing I refuse to do. I will not look at my investment portfolio like every day, like some people do, because I would just lose my mind. But maybe about once or twice a week, I'll just pull it up, see what's going on and say, not looking at that until next week. So yeah, definitely appreciate that. Now, I want to kind of transition this into something that we started doing called the final round. And it's four kind of hard-hitting questions that I think will really pull out some good information from what it is that you're doing and just some of the trials and tribulations that you've faced in your own journey building up your company as well. So if you're ready to go, we'll get that party started.
Let's get the party started.
All right, Eunice, I appreciate that. So the first question is, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
The biggest mistake I've ever made was not listening to my gut instinct. Anytime, and this is the gut guiding point that I give my clients and anybody that I talk to, anytime when your gut tells you or guides you into a specific direction, listen to it. Obviously, ask questions, but follow your instincts. Your instincts are generally rooted, like the relationship with money, right? They're rooted in past experiences, they're rooted in things that you can't necessarily understand or articulate. And for me, the biggest mistakes have always been associated with not listening to my instincts.
Yeah, that's very fair. That's very fair. I've even experienced that myself too, even in a real estate deal that I purchased one time where I didn't listen to my gut and I got punched in my gut for not listening to it. So that's for sure. People are a lot more intuitive than they think they are. And if you can really focus on your instincts, like you said, it can make a big difference. We don't know what we don't know, but we do know what we do know. In the back of your head, if something's telling you this doesn't smell right, this doesn't feel right, it's probably because there's some knowledge that you have back there that you're tapping into that you're maybe just not seeing it right now, but your body is telling you, hey, this is not the right move. So definitely appreciate that perspective. Now, the next couple questions all tie into this as well. So the next question is, what is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first started?
Invest in yourself. I wish that, especially for if we have any individuals that are leaders in the corporate world, or you work for somebody else, or even if you're a business owner and you found success by doing the hard work, investing in yourself and the knowledge and the strategic guidance and support from experts is huge. Give an example of how far I've come. When I first left corporate America, I didn't even know that there's the notion. Of course, I knew about consultants, for crying out loud. I had been in that role for many years, but I never knew that hiring a consultant at a personal level, not for a Fortune 500 company, but for myself, for my small company at that time, that it was critical. And so when I first discovered that, it was a huge eye-opener. And it was such a big eye-opener to where even just this past year, I had 3 business coaches that I had hired, and every single one of them had a different strategy. Now, of course, there was the kind of key business coach, and everything else that I was hearing was a validation of, is it leading practices or is it not leading practices? But then in itself gives you the idea of there's so much stuff out there. We can Google anything that we want. The reality is that without having the true leading practices from individuals that have an unbiased way of helping us and helping us think through, helping us see what we need to see and helping us think through what we need to think through, we're going to be our own worst enemies. And so that was the one thing that I've learned, that investing in ourselves, in our business, is absolutely huge.
Absolutely agree with that. You have to invest in yourself. And that kind of takes me back to a really good book called Profits First by Mike Michalowicz. And I've had actually 2 different people on my show that actually talked about that a little bit. So it's like the same thing, pay yourself first, right? So as you're investing and you're, especially if you're building a business, you want to pay yourself first as well. So investing in yourself is huge. And that could be anything of going out to a nice dinner. It could be different things that you might need for, let's say you want to start a podcast and you need to buy some equipment, investing in that, just different things that will help you raise the happiness bar. And sometimes I think a lot of people forget, especially in this industry, for people that are maybe trying to be a little bit more frugal as they're beating debt and trying to figure out ways to build their wealth, sometimes they forget to give themselves something. And a lot of times those are the people that will get burnt out and say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. And they wind up living paycheck to paycheck for the rest of their life, or having to wait until they're in their late 60s to be able to retire. And even then, sometimes they can't even retire then. So I think investing in yourself and keeping yourself happy as you go along your journey is huge. So I definitely appreciate that. Okay. So this, again, this kind of ties into the next question. And that is, do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to someone that is just getting started today?
So tips and tricks, that's a great one. Going back to what you said earlier about you have to invest in your health and yourself, you have to invest in your happiness, 100%. One of the big tips and tricks that I share with, and even if I didn't share it with them, our clients always see it on the other side, is this knowledge that free isn't always free. There's nothing in life that comes for free. And oftentimes what we see with individuals, so many times, whether they work with a real estate agent or they work even with a financial advisor, they just want the free. How can I get it for free? How can I negotiate myself a better deal? And what I feel they always fail to see is that negotiating a little bit here or a little bit there ends up actually costing them a whole lot more in the long run. So while it's not a tangible tip and trick, when you're thinking, let's say, for example, the free guidance that you've gotten thus far with how you invest your money, think of the following question. What are you leaving on the table? What is it truly costing you? Because it's not just about how you invest your money. It's so much more than that. So what are the different pots of money that you're totally flushing down the toilet every single day, every month, every year that you'll never get to see because you got it for free? You had access to that very super limited menu of services and you were fine with that because it was free and you didn't know any different. So my tip and my trick there is surround yourself with good people. be comfortable to potentially shift people on and off your bus, like I said earlier. The same individuals, the same companies, the same strategic partners that help you get to where you're at may or may not be able to take you to the next level. And so don't be afraid. That's the other thing. Don't be afraid to make changes. Again, when your instinct tells you that, hey, maybe it's time, it probably is time. And we see that so often with so many clients. We've got several clients that we're working on with them, on this specifically with them. And we're not about displacing, but we are about optimizing. And so it's the idea of you understanding what it is that you need to do to help take your own game to the next.
That is fantastic. That is a great answer. Really appreciate that. You always bring it back to these analogies that make sense. And don't miss the bus, people. Don't miss the bus. And guess what? The value of the bus ticket that you have, it's worth it. So pay for it. Don't try to negotiate your fair price.
And don't try to get on
that
bus.
You're going to wind up missing. You're going to wind up having to get off two stops too early, and then you're going to walk two blocks. No, I definitely appreciate that. That is awesome. Okay, Eunicia. And now the next question is, do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate related book or podcast or both?
As a matter of fact, I do. One of my most favorite books for folks to reference is Tony Robbins' book called Money Master the Game. It's not a super hard read. It is a long book to get through. But the reason I specifically appreciate the book is because, number one, it provides some third party insights into this idea that you need to be thinking about things differently. The other reason is when I first read that book, I thought, oh my gosh, we need to do something about the limited options that people have when it comes to how they see money, to how they invest money, to how they perceive, going back to that relationship that we talked about money. And so it's a book that I definitely recommend. It's fun and it'll be a huge eye-opener for many people.
That is fantastic. That's a great book for people to read. And Tony Robbins is a great coach and author and does some really amazing things. So I appreciate that. So if you haven't already, go check out Money Master the Game. All right. This has been a fantastic conversation. I've really enjoyed it. But now I have one more question for you. And I think this is the most important question of all, because for the people that have been listening and following along with this interview and following along with your journey and what you've done, and then also what you've done with the Wealth Freedom Formula, people are going to want to know more about you and about the formula. So Eunicia, if you could share where we could find that. Do you have a website, any social media profiles we can follow? That would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Folks can certainly follow us on our website. They can even interact and chat with us there. It is www.empoweredfinancialplanner.com. And for those listeners that are interested to learn more about kind of the philosophies behind even what made the Wealth Freedom Formula what it is, you're more than welcome to grab your free quick read. It's a checklist to the 5 financial pitfalls that really we should all be focused on in order to avoid. And you can find that on our website, same thing, www.empoweredfinancialplanner.com/pitfalls. I encourage you to get that. Let us know that you heard about it here on the podcast, that you heard it from Mike and from me. And it'll be our pleasure to connect with you if you have any questions and go from there. You can also find us on social media. We're just about everywhere, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure I have links to all of that in the show notes, the website, the social media profiles, just to make it easier for all of you. So you can either copy and paste or click away and go give them a follow. Go check out the website, see what Eunicia and her team is doing with the Empowered Financial Planner. So this is just really awesome. And go check out the Wealth Freedom Formula that they have and get the free information that you can get. And it's going to be awesome, guys. Hey, Eunicia, again, this has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time to have this chat with me today. It's been really fun.
Likewise, Mike. It was a pleasure to be here with you today.
All righty. Aloha from Hawaii. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.